going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cook, you ate turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Draft in the rearview mirror, as we've discussed, and we've got plenty. A pro play. You got 11 players got picked by the Ravens, and we'll get to all of them as the week progresses into next week for sure. But Eric DaCosta did talk with the media, as he is prone to do, answering questions. He gets up there and asks things like, hey, you went pretty good on the defense there, Eric, and I guess that was a planned thing.
Well, I think, you know, we went into it, you know, thinking maybe that we would allocate some resources to that side of the football. You know, I think it's very cyclical. Some years we spend most of our picks on offense. Some years more so on defense. Some years we're balanced. You know, I think early on this year we did spend some picks on defense. I think we got some great football players at important positions. You know, guys that can make plays on the football, guys who can get to the quarterback. You know, I think that's great. And probably the one thing we couldn't do is get that big, wide body type guy. And I think, you know, that's something that will assess and address after the draft, and you know, we're already starting to talk about that, so we're aware of that. But I think the guys we took can really impact the defense for sure, and we're excited about them.
I totally agree with that. I mean, the guy, they expect him to, well, Starks will start and Green will play a lot, so they'll impact how good this team will be, you know. And then getting a wide body, they need another big defensive lineman, and they'll get a veteran guy after that, because you know, when teams draft those guys up high and stuff, the defensive tackles, and a lot of them went in the first round, then they usually cut some people. So there'll be some guys, and we'll see it in the next few weeks. We'll see some guys coming in probably for workouts or tryouts, and they'll end up signing one or two.
So bounce around the division a little bit. We'll talk more about this with John Cooper, bottom of the hour, before we get back to Eric DaCosta. Steelers go Derek Harmon, Oregon, in the first round there at number 21. Caleb Johnson, running back out of Iowa.
Him. Yeah, I thought he was a real good. I mean, Bob, did they have like typical like Steeler type draft? I mean, you know, with Derek Harmon, D tackle, Caleb Johnson, you know, running back, and then Jack Sawyer, edge rusher, kind of like, you know, a try hard effort guy. You know, I mean, to me, and Black, the D tackle from Iowa. And then they took Will Howard, you know, in the sixth round. Yeah, everything relies for them, Bob, on getting Aaron Rodgers. If they don't get Aaron Rodgers, they have no quarterback.
Are they worse than the Browns if they don't get Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I would. Yes, because the Browns will have better talent than Pittsburgh would.
Cincinnati went with Shamar Stewart, and we talked about it Friday. We'll talk about it now. You weren't a big fan of that selection. Edge rusher out of Texas A&M. They do get a Demetrius Knight, linebacker out of South Carolina, and then offensive line Dylan Fairchild out of Georgia, among others. They didn't have a ton of draft picks. Of course, Ravens had 11. They had 7, but did Cincinnati address needs, you know, based on what their concerns were in the offseason heading into said draft?
Well, I mean, Bob, if you just look at, like, the players they took, they basically took 3 linebackers and 2 guards. So, I mean, that was their needs. And I'm guessing they needed off-ball linebackers. You know where I was shocked, Bob? No safeties. That's what shocked me, that they didn't take a safety, because they were bitching and complaining about they didn't like either safety, and then they kept them both.
Well, they went that route a couple years ago, and it blew up in their face.
Oh, big time. Well, they were getting rid of veterans. You know, this year you got Geno's, you got 2 guys that didn't play well for them. Or maybe they're saying that Al Golden, the new D coordinator, is going to get all that corrected.
Mel Kiper gave Cincy a C, by the way. And yeah, we know they gave Higgins and Chase money, and Burrow's one of the best quarterbacks in football. But, you know, they're two years running minus the playoffs, that I'm guessing people are getting sick of hearing that in Cincinnati right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Coach is on the hot seat this year. If they don't get it done, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, I would think that there's a good chance that he may be gone. I mean, they invested all their money on offense, you know, basically with 2 wide receivers, excuse me, and a quarterback. And still got to pay the pass rusher. Are they going to pay him? Doesn't seem like it. And they'll have him for this year, Bob, then he'll go.
Cleveland, they gave Mason Graham goes top 5 from University of Michigan. And then they go with a Schweswinger, who was a guy that one of our callers said the Ravens should look at, but he was the first pick of the second round. Then they take 2 running backs, Judkins out of Ohio State and Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee. So 2 Power 5 dudes. Look, Nick Chubb's free agent, coming off yet another injury. Jerome Ford, you know, he showed some signs of being effective, but they were all in on that that running back issue. And, of course, the 2 quarterbacks, Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I think, Bob, you know, and Fannin, the tight end, running back, I like the Ohio State running back. I like him. Mason Graham's a stud. I mean, he's a hell of a football player. And then if the big thing for them, Bob, is most important thing for them, if either Gabriel or Sanders can be their starter, then they're golden. If neither one can be, then you're starting over, Pickett.
Yeah, Pickett or Joe Flacco, because Deshaun Watson's not going to play. They haven't stuck a fork in him. Re-injured the Achilles working out.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want him back in the building, Bob. I don't want him there to contaminate anything in the building.
It's been 881-05, so the Fan. It is NFL Lunch here on this Monday. All right, let's get back to Eric DaCosta, a guy that will be talked about twice. We'll do his profile in-depth tomorrow, but it's Teddy Buchanan. Eric DaCosta, tell us about the linebacker out of Cal.
Buchanan was a guy that I did late in the process. The coaches and scouts liked him. I saw a guy that played very hard, very gifted, mover, explosive, excellent coverage linebacker, should translate well to special teams. Think he's a really polished, tough, tenacious guy.
I'm going to watch him on film later today. So I'm anxious to see, you know, what, is he a guy that's going to compete with Stewart, or is he a guy that is going to be, you know, right there with Hummel, you know, on teams?
Simpson, you mean?
Or Simpson.
Trenton Simpson.
Yes.
Who's got some splaining to do, I guess.
He needs a phenomenal offseason. And, you know, he got his coach fired. He got the linebacker coach fired. So he needs to make a huge jump, because if not, then he becomes the special teams guy.
Yeah, because Chris Board, Malik Harrison
are gone.
They're gone. So, also, bounce around the draft a little bit with Eric DaCosta. Here's a guy, Vinny, that, you know, you talked off the air you weren't intrigued with, but let's see what Eric DaCosta has to say about Carson Vinson, offensive tackle, Alabama A&M.
It's kind of what I thought.
Oh.
This was, I didn't know we were doing Vincent. I thought we were doing the other guy. Let's see. Carson Vinson. Here we go.
Carson Vinson, Coach Warhop, one of his favorite prospects. A small school guy, tremendous size and strength. I can tell you, he came into my office last week. He visited last week and almost broke my hand. And then he tried to shake my hand and he was leaving my office, and I just looked at him and said, I'm good. But he's just a big, strong, physical, athletic player. I think Coach Warhop's excited to work with him.
And that's the thing about it, because he needs a lot of – he's raw. He is raw, raw, raw. And you know what? If my O-line – it's fifth round. End of the – they traded up in the fifth to get him. But I'm guessing that George Warhop, the O-line coach, like stood on the table, you know, let's get this guy. I can make him into a player. And if that's – you know, if your O-line coach is that invested in what he did with your O-line this past year, he did a hell of a job developing all those other guys, and he says he can make this guy into a player, hey, you know, I'll give him the chance. I mean, Joe D did the same thing with the kid from Oregon, but that was sixth round.
Oh, Salah.
Salah, yeah, and he's now gone. So it'll be interesting to see. But, hey, if George Warhop can do it, more power to him. I mean, because this kid, when I watched the Senior Bowl tape, oof, pass protection was ugly. It was ugly. I mean, he had no punch whatsoever. He just doesn't know how to play. You know, he's from Alabama A&M, and he's got a lot of technique issues. He's got athleticism. He's got size. He's got length. And, you know, he's got George has got a bunch of clay or putty, you know, to make a statue or make something out of this guy.
So we got plenty of draft stuff coming your way over the next few days. Remember, the rookie mini camp is this weekend, Sunday, open to the media.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be getting into what, OTAs? Schedule is coming out May 14th.
Yeah.
OTAs are always fun. Is he there? Is he there? Is he there? Who's there? Is he there?
And it's not...
is he there? And Lamar will pop in. He'll do the cameo, special appearance by Lamar Jackson, and then we won't see him again until mandatory minicamp in June. Not that he needs
to prove anything. I just hope Roquan's there the whole time, Bob, because he needs a great offseason conditioning-wise and stuff.
5880-1057, the fan will come back. Well, the Orioles, well, they need a lot of things, a win, most importantly, and hopefully they can get that tonight against the Yankees. AL East report, don't forget, starting at 5:30 this evening, Pickles Pub. It is Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, me, longtime voice of the Orioles, Jim Hunter, and Joe LaCroix. It's a beautiful night for baseball. Come downtown Baltimore, say hello. We're going to be there four times this week. Weather's going to be epic, so let's get the Orioles maybe starting a 4-2 homestand. We'll take it, right? Well, you sweep every series in your love and life, but let's get a win. Baby steps, I guess. Baby steps here.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
All right, American League East report here on this Monday. Wasn't the greatest of weekends for the Orioles in Detroit. Getting swept three games, including the doubleheader on Saturday after getting rained out on Friday night. Adley got banged up. Westberg tweaked a hammy. O'Neill's feelings are hurt after a big game in the opener against Detroit Saturday. And then, let's see, Cedric Mullins is under the weather. This has not been an ideal stretch of baseball for the Orioles, about to encounter yet another losing month. 7-0 was the final score yesterday. Orioles 0-9, runners in scoring position in the series. 2-23, 6 for their last 60 or 66, something crazy like that in that category. And looking at the updated stats, Orioles batting average, runners in scoring position, 27th in baseball. Remember, 2 years ago, they were number one, numero uno, in that category. Not so much this year. Tyler O'Neill, he was placed on the 15-day IL, dealing with neck soreness. And remember, he had got scratched earlier in the season with that same sort of thing. And he's 15 trips, I believe I read that correctly, in his career on the injured list. So Tyler O'Neill, you know, it's a one trip through the ILs. Brandon Hyde said this could not be an extended thing, we don't think. But then again, you know, Zach Eflin, when's he coming back? Grayson, don't hold your breath waiting on that anytime soon. So we'll see what's going on. And Colton Cowser's still, what, a month away? If not longer, coming back from the broken thumb suffered in the first series of the year against the Toronto Blue Jays. So that's your problems there. Where the Orioles will get to the standings here in a second. When the Escubal, 6 innings, 4 hits, no walks, 11 Ks. 1-2-3 strike, you're out. Move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. So swept in Detroit where the Orioles. Speaking of sweeping, Yankees take it on the Blue Jays in a doubleheader as they got washed out in their opener there in New York against the fading Toronto Ball Club of breaking out the whipping sticks. How about game one? That Volpe guy doing his thing.
High fly ball, right field. Springer back, track. Whoa, see ya! Home run for Volpe. 7-1 Yanks.
11-2, final score of that one. It's going to be Michael Kay for the couple of highlights we have here. Kevin Gausman, he got roughed up a little bit in that one. That was thrown out of the game. Former Oriole. Yankees scored 6 runs in the third. The Orioles scored 5 runs in 3 games in Detroit. I know I'm belaboring the point, just pointing out the discrepancy between the teams. The Orioles, the run differential right now is minus 39. New York's is plus 42. So there you go. Max Fried got the win. Nah, he's 5-0. Remember they spent money on a free agent pitcher? He's 5-0. But he track record of success, doing some great things. So the Yankees win the opener and said, hey, that's not enough. How about game two? And then here comes the judge.
Judge hits one deep to right field. Santander back. Track. Wall. Leap. See ya. A home run for Judge. And the Yankees take a 2-1 lead.
Yankees would hit 3 homers on that one in the nightcap as they win 5-1, sweep the doubleheader, win the series 2-1. It was the Red Sox taking on the Guardians, and the Red Sox getting busy with the loud bats themselves.
High fly ball in the center. Martinez backing up. Backing up, turning around, and that ball's gone.
How about 3 more?
3 more for Sadon.
13-3 was the final score there as the Red Sox beat the Guardians. 3 home runs. Sadon Rafaela, 3-run shot, as you heard. Brian Bayo just off the IL. He picked up his 2nd win of the year as the Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from Cleveland. And then how about Tampa taking on the Padres? Padres off to that great start. They had the best record in baseball, rolling for a little bit. Not so much as of late, and Tampa had a lot to do with that one.
And shoots this one to right field. He's got some punch in that one. Tatis will go to the wall, and that baby's gone. Home run to right off the bat of Taylor Walls on a 2-2 pitch. And the Rays are on the board to tie this game.
And they wind up winning said game 4-2. Dwayne Stats on the call. FanDuel Sports, by the way, was Nesson on the call for the Red Sox, their blowout win over Cleveland. Walls' first homer of the year, 4-2 final score. Tampa sweeps the Padres in that series. So San Diego's lost 4 in a row tonight in the division. Only game in on the schedule is the Orioles and the Yankees. Tomorrow, KC's at Tampa. Boston is at Toronto. Some of the games going on. And, of course, Baltimore hosting the Yankees again. Standings update here on this Monday. Yankees 17-11 on the year, 2 games up on the Red Sox, 3 games up on Tampa. Toronto's 4 back. Orioles are 6.5 out. Tigers, who just swept the Orioles, they've won 4 in a row. They're 2.5 up on Cleveland. Kansas City will be in town this weekend. They're 4.5 up. Twinkies, they're 6 off the pace. Minnesota has won 3 straight, however. Seattle, game up on Texas in the West. Houston, 1.5 back. A's are 2 back, and the Angels all of a sudden, losers up 3 in a row, 7 of 10. They're in last place. Mets 4 games up on the Phillies in the East. Nationals in third, followed by the Marlins and the Bravos there. You have the Cubbies, 1.5 up on the Reds. Brewers are 3 games back. Cincinnati's won 4 in a row, by the way. Pirates bringing up the rear in the Central. And in the West, it's the Giants now in first place. 1/2 game up on the Dodgers. San Diego has dropped to 3rd. game and a half out. And then Arizona, they're 3.5 off the pace. And the Rockies, they've lost 6 in a row. They are 14 games out of first place. They have 4 wins. 4 on the season as we're only a couple of days left here in the month of April. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan, BBT tonight. Baltimore Baseball Tonight, live from Pickles. Me, Jim Hunter, Joe LaCroix. We're on at 5:30. Come on down and say hello. Be there 4 times this week, 3 with New York. Off day Thursday, then Kansas City's coming to town for the weekend series. So let's have some fun at the yard and hopefully get the Orioles back in that win column and creep up these standings a little bit. But when we come back, John Cooper from OurLads.com. Talk about the draft that was. How did the Ravens do? And Cam Ward Jr. Remember, he was the number one pick in the draft. If you watched draft coverage over the weekend, you would have known it. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to said program, John Cooper. John, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in Baltimore, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We know there's a lot of things going on with the draft, a lot of narratives, a lot of drama, a lot of crazy things that took place. But let's start with the number one overall pick. Cam Ward Jr. came from Incarnate Word, went to Washington State, Miami, set all sorts of records, helping the Hurricanes be formidable in 24. His skill set translates how to the Titans, and in particular in an AFC South, which appears to be Houston's to lose. But then again, how does he change the narrative there?
Well, they need a quarterback badly, and I think they just took the best quarterback available in their minds. And, you know, we agree. We think he's a great athlete. He moves well in the pocket. I mean, his pocket presence isn't always the best, and sometimes he'll bail out too soon and try to make a play where he had something in the pocket. He's got a strong, strong arm. He can throw the deep ball. He's got the ability to throw every NFL throw. He's got some things to work on, you know, as far as, you know, playing in the pocket, not bailing too soon, things like that. But and his accuracy sometimes wanes at times when he's moving. But overall, and he's a gunslinger. That's a good thing. He's very aggressive throwing the ball downfield. There's a lot to like about him, his talent level, and we think he could develop into a real nice quarterback.
John, let's talk about the Ravens. What'd you think of Starks and Green?
Well, those are two guys that we were really surprised were there at those picks for them. And we really have liked Malachi Starks for a long time. He's a versatile safety. He can play one high, two high. He can move down in the box. He's actually got some corner experience. He's a very good zone defender. He's got very good instincts. Downhill, you know, coming downhill against the run. He can slip blocks on the move. I mean, he's just a really, really good football player. We probably had him too high. We had top 10 value on him from the get-go. And we understand safety is not the highest graded position in the world usually, but we think he's got tremendous value. Green is a guy, we understand there's some potential issues there, and that is why we believe he dropped out of the first round, you know, some allegations. But really smart football IQ. He's got a tremendous arsenal in the pass rush. 17 sacks, obviously at a lower level of football, you know, group of five. Type guy, so he didn't play against the best competition, but he's got great football IQ. We had our guys talk to him down at the Senior Bowl, and we're really, really came away impressed with him. He has a pass rush plan. He's a very smart player, and he's very skilled. Great speed to pressure. Speed to, is really good. He's not as quick off the ball as some people might like, but once he gets off the ball, his quickness makes up for it, his speed to pressure. He's really a good football player.
All right, John, how about the 3 old linemen that the Ravens took? Emory Jones, LSU, Garrett Dillinger, LSU, and then Carson Vincent, Alabama A&M.
Well, you know, Emory Jones is a tackle. He probably is more of a right tackle, but he's played left tackle. He's played all along the line. He's playing for LSU, and LSU, if you look at what they did protecting Jaden Daniels a year ago, that's a really good skilled offensive line. So they got themselves a very, very good football player, and that's going to add to their depth. Dellinger is a good guard. I mean, you know, a very good interior blocker. I'm surprised in some ways, you know, he's got some holes, but you know, he playing in that line, he's worth the pick, especially in the 7th round. Carson Vincent is somewhat of a project, but we really like him. We've got a guy that focuses on the HBCU and looks at their players, and he came away really impressed. We heard from a former NFL personnel director that contacted us about him. He's a very physical player. He's raw, you know, in terms of some things, but he started 48 games at left tackle, and we think he can play that in the NFL. He's got some developmental work to do. They were a little bit more run-oriented team at Alabama A&M, but great tools, a great prospect to work with. You know, we think that's a really good pick for them.
Did you see him at the Senior Bowl, John?
Yes. Yeah. Our guys were down there, and you know, we saw the the film and everything like that. You know, I'm going more off the game tape. You know what I saw, the type of player, right, his footwork, but we like him.
All right, let's look at the division a little bit, John. Cincinnati, Shamar Stewart. What do you think of him?
Well, we like him a lot. He didn't have the production that everybody, you know, wants as far as sacks are concerned. But, you know, there's a lot more to it than sacks. His pressure rate was, if it wasn't the first, it was in the top two or three of defensive tackles. So he played a very good defensive line. And, you know, he can get to the quarterback. You know, he's a good player. He can pressure the quarterback. He can make things very uncomfortable. He can push the pocket. He can slide down inside. He's a really good player.
All right, how about a couple guys from Cleveland? Mason Graham, Schlesinger, and then Judkins, the running back.
Well, Graham, we think it was the best tackle in the draft. They think that he had a great pick. You know, he's got a great motor, makes plays downfield, all over the field. He's got great lateral movement. He's got a good upfield moves in terms of rushing the passer. He's more of a little bit more collapsed the pocket, but he can escape, and he can sack the quarterback. And he's just a hot motor player. Schlesinger is one of my favorite linebackers. He's a pure linebacker. He's got great skill. It came from out of nowhere in some ways. He was a terrific special teams player for 2 years, and all of a sudden he's a starting linebacker. The metrics like him. He's an excellent cover linebacker, one of the best cover linebackers I've seen as far as a zone defender. And he's got good man-to-man skill. He's a guy I really like. And it doesn't surprise me he went where he went. And, you know, Judkins was Mr. Inside, although he can do more than that for Ohio State. And Henderson was Mr. Outside. So they had a really good combination with two great backs. And, you know, we think Judkins is a really good player. And that's about where we had him projected. Now, maybe a little lower, around 38-39, but he's right in the ballpark. Same thing with Schlesinger.
Now, John, what about Pitt? Derek Harmon, Caleb Johnson, who, you know, Iowa, Jack Sawyer, Ohio State, and then you could throw in Black from Iowa to the D-tackle, since you guys are probably saw him a lot being right up the road.
Right. The first one, you know, Black, first of all, I think the guy we like the best of that group is probably Harmon. You know, we think he's a really good defensive tackle. He's got good pass rush skills. He plays with a hot motor. He had good hands, very strong hands. He could even play a little five technique. I mean, he's a good fit for Pittsburgh's defense. He can rush the passer from the inside as well. Caleb Johnson, we're surprised he lasted that long, to be honest. We thought he was a second-round pick. Jack Sawyer is your classic try-hard guy. Doesn't have the speed, doesn't have the athleticism, but he just makes plays. And I won't discount him for that. I mean, he just is a really, really good football player. And we thought they got a great pick there because we thought he was a second-round pick, and they got him in the fourth round. So that's But again, 4.940 at his pro day. You know, the analytics don't like him, to be honest. So, but I like him as a player, and so I think and he'll fit with Pittsburgh very well. Yaha Black is a guy that could play five technique. I think they listed him as a defensive end. We saw him as more of a three technique, down the line guy. We saw him play. We like what he brings to the table, but you know, he's not the greatest, athlete, or not the biggest, most physical guy. And he's got some holes in terms of some technique, but he's got some talent. You know, we thought he would have been more a later round pick than the fifth. But hey, Pittsburgh liked him; they jumped up and took him.
Now, John, how about a guy in the first round that you guys had higher that dropped you know, more than you thought would drop. Who was that surprise guy for you? And don't put Starks. We've already talked about him.
Okay. Well, Sanders, obviously, you know, is a guy that we thought higher, but, you know, we're very surprised he dropped as low as he did. We didn't think he was the best quarterback in the draft, and we can understand the mobility issue in the pocket presence. It's going to take some time to develop him as a quarterback because you're not always going to have the clean pocket you need. But we still thought somebody would take him higher than that. So that's the biggest surprise for us.
John Cooper, OurLads.com. John, appreciate your time and analysis as always. I guess take a deep breath, sit back, and enjoy your day off if you got one. And we'll talk to you soon.
John, tell Shonk thanks for the book. It was great, and I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Vinny. I definitely will tell him. He always talks about you whenever we talk. He speaks very highly. So a long-time friendship there. That's great.
All right, John, thanks. John Cooper, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take a trip through the fun house, and then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Kevin Ostreicher, speaking of the draft, he'll be joining us, Ravens Wire. Ton of undrafted free agents as well, but rookie minicamp coming up this weekend. Sunday, open to the masses there, and get your first look at, you know, your first round, your second round, your 11 draft picks, and some others that could stand out, maybe. Yeah. In that setting, because a lot of guys get invited to this sort of thing, and what better way to make a good first impression? Rookie minicamp. Yeah. Showing what you can do and get an invite to the next thing that comes along.
No doubt about it, Bob. And I'm sure there's a lot of tryout guys in that rookie minicamp, you know, and whether they're there for a day or 2 days or all 3 days. And like you said, if they show anything, then they'll get invited back. Because what you're looking at is, because you're only allowed 90, and, you know, you like you said, that there was 40 guys, 40 undrafted, you know, and like, so if they're, what happens is if a guy that is this in for a tryout, if he's better than one of your undrafteds, you swap him out, and that's what they're looking to get the best 90 for their roster. So, yeah, it'll be competitive. It'll be kind of fun. I'm really looking forward to going out there and watch it. I like to go every year. I go out there and you pick up some things, just like Falele. I didn't realize he was such a good athlete when I went out there, and I didn't realize Armour Davis was always going to be hurt, you know, when I was out there. Lamar was having a hard time throwing the football. So I mean, it'll be fun. It'll be fun going out there to watch.
It looks like the Washington Commanders, it's official, are going to be going back to, well, not RFK, but where RFK still stands, to play their football $4 billion deal to put them back in D.C. proper.
And with a roof so they can have Super Bowl. And the press conference today, Roger Goodell was there.
Yeah. And I told you off the air, if they're getting a roof, Super Bowl definitely in play.
No doubt.
And expect Final Fours and things of that nature to be part of that equation as well.
Well, I would imagine, Bob, all the Redskin fans, you know, people that
were the name back,
that they'll be happy that the location is going back there.
And Maryland had their spring game on Saturday.
They did?
Yeah, did not get a lot of run, did it? 7 Terps drafted, however. Makes you wonder how they only won 3 games last year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Nolan, how you doing over there?
Well, pretty good, actually. I heard I got drafted, too.
You did? You were 8th round pick.
I didn't bring first this up earlier. I mean, I didn't see any celebration for me, but I had a perfect 7-round mock draft. Nobody's talking about it. I got every single pick right this weekend.
Then you should have a couple million in the bank, because that's an impossible task.
No, it's not.
You just did it. So actually,
in all seriousness,
easier said than done.
Harder. We'll probably limit it to just the first round. Harder to have a perfect bracket or a perfect mock draft?
First round mock draft, I'd lean towards bracket, because that's never been done. But I think a first round draft is damn near close to impossible.
Yeah.
Because you don't know about the trades. I mean, the Travis Hunter thing, kaboom.
Yeah. Hey, Nolan, tell me you didn't watch all Saturday draft, did you?
No.
Oh, thank you.
No.
I mean that's like when it gets really goofy. Well, you didn't watch the whole I didn't watch Saturday.
No, I was watching Connor Benn, Chris Eubank Jr. Orioles were playing a doubleheader.
Well, they played at, 1-6.
Yeah, I know. I was watching it. And they had other, the NBA playoffs ruined. I was following on my phone, of course.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I had 3 TVs, not 17, to get this thing done. All right, Nolan, before we head on down to Pickles Pub, get you ready for BBT. Let's go to that funhouse here.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here says the Orioles have no plan, no strategy. Just a group of guys who get up to see how hard they can swing. What's the fastest downward spiral of a team going from winning 100 to losing 100? The Orioles had a fast upswing going from losing to 100 to winning 100. I think they have a chance to go the reverse. Fire Hyde and all the pathetic coaches.
All right. Well, that's pretty direct and to the point. You're not buying text or anything the Orioles are trying to sell you. And I don't even want to hear about expected outcomes and all of that nonsense. Even when they do hit the ball hard, rare occasion, it lands in a glove. So even if they're up there trying to swing from the heels, they're swinging a lot of air. 11 Ks yesterday, no walks.
Another one says the Orioles are in free fall right now. I trust Sagano to give them a good outing tonight, but Tuesday and Wednesday are an automatic loss. If they don't win tonight, I think they get swept again.
Well, they have to score runs to win. There's the problem. Even if Sagano gives them a quality start, no guarantees he gets any run support at all. So the struggle is real offensively, and who knows if Rutschman said he'll be in the lineup tonight, Westberg, because they're all nicked up right now.
Well, speaking of Cedric, Texter says Mullins earning an extra dollar sign next to his name with every game at this point. Every at-bat from him is great. Think about the National Series with him fouling off all those pitches to chase Gore out of the game. That's exactly what they need from the other 8 guys in the lineup.
We talked about it last week, however, in regards to a possible contract extension. No talks just yet. And boy, how things change over the course of a year. A year ago, pretty much everyone that calls this show wanted him gone. Off the team.
And one last one here on the Ravens. Texter says, I think that Steve Bisciotti does need to answer questions about the green pick. Why the double standard? I guess it depends on the quality of the player. Also, what's taking so long with the whole Tucker investigation? I thought the Watson thing was solved pretty quickly. Ravens kind of stuck here waiting.
The Watson thing was long, if I remember right, wasn't it, Bob? I thought
it's a couple months, yeah.
Yeah. So I think the Tucker thing, we're going to get it probably. My prediction, 4th of July is on a what day, Bob?
I think it's on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Might be on the 4th of July or that Thursday before the 4th of July, you know, when in the PR cycle. Long weekend, that could be, like, that's when it could be announced. And well, you know what? Bisciotti, that's what he's got Eric DaCosta for. Bisciotti's not going to answer anything. That's Eric's job.
Yeah, because you got post-mini-camp in June, mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Then that lull, July 4th through the start of training camp. You know, everyone's on vacation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Chilling. I'm like, oh, Tucker got suspended.
Yeah.
Saw that coming. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow with Turn It Up Tuesday. Talk about hopefully the Orioles beat New York tonight. More about the draft and profiles to come along with it. Stanley Cup NBA playoffs and everything else on our sports calendar. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.